Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. What does it take to not only be a talk show host, but separate and distinguish your effort from everyone else? Today's guest believes you do it by taking it to the streets of New York City. National TV's newest solo talk host, here TV host and executive Josh Gerber's wife, joins me next. Also ahead, a great Hall of Fame choice. We'll explain. Hello, everyone. I'm Tom Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Thanks for making it Saturday Monday afternoon to kick off a social media week here in New York, San Fran, and all around the world. 35 degrees atop the hour. We haven't been in the Big Apple in quite a while. And we invite you to part of the program. You do it with a phone call, 1-646-652-2906. That's 1-646-652-2906. That number has been anywhere that are in or nationwide or worldwide here on Blog Talk Radio. There are people on chatting already, so if you don't want to use the phone, use the room. You're welcome to get 8947-8987. A whole bunch of other folks coming aboard. So again, if you don't want to use the phone, use the room. As I mentioned, this is Social Media Week. It is the third annual edition here in New York. San Francisco, some other cities around the world are facing all sorts of events showcasing social media, where it's at, and where it's going. And on Wednesday, I'll be involved in one of those events here in New York. About 150 events happening here in the Big Apple, and my event is taking place on Wednesday morning. It's called TV Go Social. It'll give you all the details, and if you're in New York, or probably be in New York this week for SMW activity, we'll give you the details. But right now, it's time to introduce our guests. A lot of talk show hosts are coming aboard this TV cycle over the last over year or so. People like George Lopez, Monique, Judy Chen, and the co-host on the talk on CBS. And my guest today is the newest member of that fraternity. Today, January 28th on Just Josh on Here TV. And joining us live from New York, Josh Rosenzweig. Josh, good to have you with us.
Well, thanks, Simon. Really, really nice of you to have me on.
So how did you and your show separate yourself from everybody else?
Well, you know, I'm not really this wasn't what I set out to do in my life, and it sort of organically grew out of some of the other things we were doing at Here Networks. And really what made it fun and sort of unique for me was that I got the opportunity to show people things that I just love about New York City. I have this ongoing love affair with the city. I have since I was a little kid. And, you know, with that, I find, like, different places, like different restaurants or galleries or different things to do in the city that you might not actually know about. So I just said to our producer, Eric Feldman, I was like, hey, you know, what about if it's really just about the things I love and the people I would love to talk to and sort of share my sort of enthusiasm about New York with everybody else?
Do you have a model that you go after, like Johnny Carson or Jay Leno or Conan or Dave Letterman or anybody else?
Well, I generally say that I'm a combination of Merv Griffin, Michael Douglas, and Dinah Shore. But those are old school references. I'm sorry?
Logan Sleet.
Well, they're a little bit of old school references, so, you know. But, I think that it's more about, more than anybody that I model myself after, I like to think that I can, like, sit and have a conversation with just about anybody, and that's kind of what's fun about it.
So who are you talking to on your program?
Well, I've been really lucky. It's sort of a crazy mixed bag of people and events. I did a show, the first show that aired last week. I went to this gallery opening of this really super cool gallery down on the Lower East Side called the Christopher Henry Gallery, and they had these two great artists there. One is this photographer named Johnny Rocha, and he was exhibiting these super large-scale photos of celebrities that were untouched. And then this other really wonderful artist named Olek, and she does, like, crochet. And, like, it's hard to explain. Like, she crocheted this entire room. And so that was really cool. And then I sat down with Charles Bush to talk to him about his new show, The Divine Sister. And then all sorts of people. I talked to Tabitha Coffee from Tabitha Salon Takeover. I talked to Molly Shannon when she was in Promises, Promises. And you know, different musicians like Casey Spooner. I met and spoke with Isabella Rossellini. So kind of a whole host of people. This week I'm going to the Big Apple Ranch to do some country western dancing. So it's kind of a whole mixed bag of things.
Now, you know, you're no neophyte to this talk show genre because for the past year or so, you've been doing some segments on Here TV, which maybe people don't know. It's a network that aims at the game of being an audience. In some markets, it's carried as a linear pay channel. In some markets, subscription video on demand. It's video on demand, except that you have to pay on a monthly basis to get it on your local cable or satellite system. What did you learn out of doing those? And you had a co-host with this. What did you learn from the process that really got you to think, hey, I could do this solo?
Well, I did. I was doing a show for the network for a number of years called Here with Josh and Sarah, and had a co-host, as you mentioned, this really fun, smart woman named Sarah Logan. She left. She went, decided, you know what, she wanted to go back to graduate school, and so she's in Bloomington, Indiana right now studying library sciences and getting her master's degree in that. And we had done about 240-some-odd shows together, and, you know, it was in studio, it was a relatively static sort of video production. I was kind of just tired when we finished, so I wasn't really, like, jumping onto the next thing. But again, the same producer, this gentleman, Eric Feldman, you know, kept pushing me. He's like, come on, let's do something. It's so fun. And then we share, Here TV shares content with a Canadian network called Out TV, and the Here with Josh and Sarah show was airing up in Canada, and it was doing really, really well, so they kept asking for more, too. So they were sort of trying to get me back into the swing of it, and I was just like, well, I don't want to sit in a studio and just interview people. And so it took us a little while to figure out, like, what was going to be different about just Josh or from Here with Josh and Sarah. And then once we sort of figured it out, and that it could be sort of outside the studio and sort of like, you know, more man on the street style, then it started to really appeal to me. And I was like, oh, yeah, I could do that. Like, I could see myself doing that. And it just sort of grew organically out of the things that I felt comfortable doing.
Josh Davis Live, the host of Just Josh, which is now running on Here TV on Video on Demand and is doing your pay services. The market sees our guest today on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you and Josh Live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. And we invite you to part of the conversation. Give us a call at 1-646-652-2906. That's 1-646-652-2906. And if you want to use the phone, use our chat room. A lot of people in the room, like that's 9283 and 9292. But if you want to use the phone, use the room. That's why it's there. Coming up on our show Friday, we're going to preview what may be the most unique program on any network this year, Bar Karma on Current TV, the network founded by former Vice President Al Gore. We'll have David Cohn, who is the current TV executive in charge of that production, which is being produced at a brand new production facility in Newark, New Jersey. It's here by Will Wright of the Sims fame, and I'll be at the Worldwide Diggies. And coming up at least on Monday is my lead guest, she's the talk show people, the former co-host of The View, the former host of Natural Rex Explorer, and now involved with All America, premiering a week from tomorrow on Open Weekly Network. Lisa Ling will be my premier guest next Monday right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. She'll be in New York next Monday. We'll get her live, and of course you can be with us in the phone calls and chat room reaction. So, Josh, you had a great job with Here TV besides doing this show. So how much time do you spend on the talk show? How much time do you spend with your day job?
Well, it just all sort of folds nicely from one to another. I have a lot of production responsibilities here at the network, as well as overseeing some of the integrated marketing efforts. And so it's sort of bouncing from one thing to another, depending on where I am in my day. It's like, well, we know we need two segments this week, so, you know, one of the folks who works with me is really on top of making sure that we follow up with the guests, and it just sort of organically, again, sort of folds into the day. It makes my day a little bit longer, and then certainly when we're out shooting, you know, it's like, that's a good chunk of my time. So they tend to be long days, but it's really fun, and it's really sort of gratifying to just go out and do this, and so I feel really lucky and really fortunate to have that opportunity. I don't mind working too hard.
And since we're going on to some shows, Josh, how do you pick where you go? How do you pick the talent that you interview?
I'm sorry?
How do you pick where you go? How do you pick what guests you have on? How do you determine what subjects you'll talk about when you show up at a location?
Well, I generally I have a big, huge bulletin board in my office, and there are white cards for the people that I've already confirmed interviews for, and then there are yellow cards for the people that I really would love to get in touch with and talk to, or things that I would like to do. So each day we sort of go through, my team and I, we go through, like, what progress we've made with the yellow cards. Like, oh, did we call this person? Have we made contact with, you know, this publicist? And you know, a lot of times it comes to us because obviously people, you know, like me coming to you and having some sort of product to sort of promote. People are often coming and saying, you know, oh, hey, you know, we want to be on your show, and, you know, so-and-so has a new album coming out. And, you know, it's great because I, you know, Duran Duran, for example, had a new album coming out, so I interviewed them. But, you know, they're one of my all-time favorite bands. I grew up with that, you know, listening to them. So as long as it's, you know, it's fun and somebody that I think I can sort of jive with and have fun talking to, like, I'm good with that. Like, it, you know, it can come to me or we can sort of, like, you know, sort of come to them.
Mm-hmm. Who's your ideal guest for this show, and have you booked that person yet?
Well, that's a good question, Simon. I have a few.
That's,
I mean, I would love
it.
I mean, there are people like John Waters that I would absolutely love to just have on because he makes me laugh. I had the pleasure of working with him at the network several years ago. You know, I would love to do some of the big gay icons, you know, the sort of Bette Midlers, Madonnas, Chers. You know, I can get really sort of starstruck, and when I, the way in which I get starstruck, I just tend to gush a little bit. So, you know, that would be my only fear, like, to have, you know, one of those people, like, that I would just end up gushing for the whole, like, half hour or so. But, you know, like I said, John would be great. I know that Bette Midler's in town working on the upcoming Broadway musical Priscilla. You know, it's really about tenacity. I mean, you just have to, like, sort of focus in on who you want and just try every angle possible, whether that's their publicist or you know someone who knows them, or, oh, you know, I know someone who worked with them, or so-and-so wrote a song for them, you know, whatever way. And it's just like sort of like chipping away at it slowly but surely.
Mm-hmm. Because this program is on ERTV, which is a network that's aimed at a specific audience, the gay, the lesbian, the transgender, et cetera, community, and you work there too. Do you feel you have a mandate that certain subjects must be covered on your show? Or do you feel that you want the program to have more of a general audience flavor, so that you want to bring an expanded audience into what you're doing?
I think that I am gay enough for the whole show. So I'm gay. I've been openly gay since I was about 17 years old. So I think I'm sort of the gay linchpin. And then it's really just about, you know, what my interests are as a gay man, and regardless of who it is, whether that's, you know, Duran Duran, or it's, you know, some crazy musician, or, you know, it's always going to have this sort of filter for that's targeted to our audience, because it's me, and it's always going to, you know, have my sort of spin on it. And, you know, when I actually, you know, back to Duran Duran, like, when I was interviewing them, like, I had to sit through an interview prior to mine, and I was like, ooh, you know, it was kind of serious and formal, and I was a little worried. And so when they got done, I was like, you guys, you know, I sort of shoot from the hip a little bit more. It's more, I just look, you know, to have fun and a conversation, and they just, like, jumped on it like crazy. And it was, you know, so I think that's more what's kind of, you know, appealing to our target demo, is that, you know, it's just me, and it's just me being who I am, and feeling free to say and do whatever it is that I want, and that sort of takes up all the room it needs for the gay part.
Guests also post in our chat room is enjoying your conversation about gay icons. What makes a gay icon? What makes that person an icon, whether gay or straight? Because there's always talk that, for example, people like Liza Minnelli or Judy Garland or other famous ladies of the past, or Bette Midler, if they, for example, are not gay, still are considered in this community icons. What makes them an icon?
Well, I think that there's a number of different sort of ways in which it can be considered an icon, and I think some of it's generational. I mean, I think that, like, what I would refer to as the kids today, you know, I'm in my 40s, and you know, so I'm sort of on the tail end of one sort of generation. But, like, you know, I know young gay men who even if they know who Judy Garland is or Bette Midler, like, that's not who they, you know, they're like, for them it's the Lady Gagas or the, you know, Kelly Rowlands or the Beyoncés. Like, they have different types of things. And I think that it can be a number of different attributes that actually sort of add up to what is appealing to, particularly to gay men. One can be, you know, sort of, you know, razzle dazzle and showmanship and just sort of glitz and glamour, like, you know, Beyonce. It can be this sort of like crazy. I think it, in a certain era, like this, the heartbreak of someone like Eliza or a Judy was just so identifiable. Where we were perhaps at that time in history. You know, people like Bette Midler, are just the fact that she's been who she is since, you know, 1970 and makes no excuses or apologies about it. And that is what I think, you know, being gay is all about, is like, you know, be who you are, be proud of who you are. And so I think it's a number of different things that can sort of qualify you for gay icon. And you know, it's just, I think the mistake that straight people make is that we are of one mind, and, you know, it's like we're a big, huge population like everybody else, and, you know, what I like doesn't mean that you're going to like it, Simon, and certainly doesn't mean that the people on this floor where I work are going to like it. You know, I have friends who were crazy about watching the football game yesterday, or I have friends who, like, had to go to the counter-programming drag show, so... Well, you know, I yesterday was a crazy day for me, and I watched part of the football game. Did you?
Say it again?
Did you? I watched part of the Super Bowl yesterday. Did you?
I did too, and I wanted to ask you about something else I watched last night as well. I'll get to that in a second. Amazing game. I thought it was one of the best Super Bowls in quite a long time. You couldn't have asked for two teams to slug it out right up to near the last minute. And certainly the Packers, I thought the Packers would win it all, and they certainly did. It was a great, great ball game, and a lot of twists and turns.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, it was really fun. I mean, I was watching it. My family is sort of like historic, like traditional Packer family. I grew up outside Chicago, and I know that my 16-year-old nephew must have been jumping up, like, out of his skin yesterday. So, you know, I'm not a huge football fan, but I can certainly appreciate it, and that game was so amazing. And that's what I mean. It's like I can go from there watching a football game to, you know, going to, you know, Sherry Vine's show at Barracuda and, you know, sit for an hour and watch a drag show. So, you know, I think that you never want to say, like, oh, gay people are one way, because we're certainly not.
Jack Davis Wise from Just Josh, which you can catch on Here TV, either as a pay service or as a subscription to on-demand service around the country through digital cable and satellite system. He's our guest live in New York on Tomorrow Before Live. Simon, happy down here with you on this Monday afternoon. Thanks for joining us. 35 degrees, top of the hour, warmest in New York in quite some time. And we invite you to get in on the action. We'll do it with a phone call, 1-646-652-2906. That's 1-646-652-2906. And pop into our chat room. As Jeff posted so soon, give me a comment. If you're going to use the phone, you're doing. That's why it's there. Then on Saturday, we have David Cohen from Current TV talking about the brand new innovative TV drama, Bar Karma. If you take on personal to the bar and you fill in the blank, and the blank is filled by Current TV viewers. And David will tell us how. And then, coming up on Monday, among our guests, Richard Ng, the former co-host of You, and now the host producer of Our America, which premieres a week and tomorrow on the Oprah Winfrey Network. Josh, also on last night was a USA Network rerun of Law & Order Special Victim Unit. It was the episode of Kathy Griffin, who plays the leader of a gay, lesbian advocacy organization that is concerned about how the police handle murders of gay and lesbians. And I'm wondering, it was a powerful episode, by the way, I'm wondering whether, even though the show is more entertainment-oriented at the beginning, whether at some point you might want to deal with a topic like that.
Well, yes, actually. I mean, there are certain things that I think are really important. You're absolutely right. My show is definitely more pop culture / entertainment oriented, but I do like to talk to people who are making a difference in this sort of world of ours. And you know, one of the people that I interviewed was somebody who, you know, somebody His name is Tom Viola. He's the executive director of an organization called Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS. And the reason why I talked to him is because I've been going to these events now for 20 years. And he's such an unsung hero, and they've raised so much money. And, you know, there's, like, flashier organizations, certainly, and larger organizations. But he has been so slow and steady, and, like, they do such great work. And to your point, Simon, like, yeah, there are people at the Point Foundation. There are people at the Trevor Project. There are people on the sort of local level that are working that I would love to talk to see, like, where they get their passion. How do they get up every morning and deal with this? My sister used to work for an organization called Planned Parenthood back in the mid-'80s, and, you know, it was so difficult. Her work was so difficult and so challenging every single day. And, like, you know, the fact that she could get up and, like, put her feet on the ground and, like, drive to these clinics every day around Central California. It's like these people are on the front lines of what we're doing, and that's exhausting, and it's just, you know, how do you keep moving forward? You know, it's one thing to sit in an office in New York like me and, like, have, you know, all this, like, TV, entertainment, media stuff spinning around. But, like, when you're dealing with those really intense real-life issues, like, that's got to be a challenge. And so, yes, I would love to talk to people like that. So if anybody's listening, like, please feel free to call me. And love to. I would love to.
And I agree. Broadway Cares is a wonderful organization. They've done some social work over the years. If you don't know about them, get hold of their website and find out what they're up to, because they've done amazing work on behalf of dealing with HIV and AIDS. And the Broadway Cares presentations every year are standouts. Whether you're Broadway or whether you're Broadway fan or not, definitely check out what they're up to. Learning about the Law & Order episode last night, there's again two subjects. One is the issue of how the police handle or don't handle gay and lesbian murders or rape cases. The other was, and I don't want to use the twist away, because there's a major twist in the story involving Kathy Griffin's character, is this issue of what happens if you represent yourself one way and you find out that's not who you really are, and whether your community, who's come to see you as your former self, shuns you when you come out, if you will. And I just thought that was very fascinating to see how both subjects were treated. And I'm wondering if you may approach either of those. I'm just curious if I don't know if you saw the episode, but if you did, I'm wondering if you felt that was pretty accurate in terms of how they were depicting it.
I unfortunately didn't see it, but I do know that somebody else had mentioned that that episode as well. And from what I understand, like, they did do a really good job. And, you know, she's so amazing, Kathy Griffin. I mean, she really is, right? Like, to just, like, the things she chooses to do and sort of align herself with are kind of remarkable.
You've seen talk shows yourself, I'm sure, whether it's Conan or David Letterman or Jay Leno or Monique and George Lopez who've entered the scene. What do you think makes a good talk show host?
Well, I think that for me, a good talk show host, it's about actually talking and listening. And you know, the thing that I watch for, you know, and you know, this is really stating the obvious, but, you know, Oprah is amazing at it. Like, she can, because I'm addicted to OWN, by the way, and the behind-the-scenes documentary of her 25th season, I can't get enough of it. So I, like, watch it like homework. And, you know, the thing that she does so well is that she's very well-prepared. She is really listening to her guest, and she can take the interview, like, if the interview, because sometimes, and you know this, you interview people every day, like, sometimes the interview can just somehow derail itself, and a good talk show host knows how to bring it back onto topic and sort of continue moving it forward and really deliver. She said something that was, it's like, what is the objective at the end of your interview? Like, what do you want your audience to feel? And I thought that was so smart. It's like, yeah, what do I want these people to think? Like, oh, it could be as simple as, like, this is a really great place to go, or this is a wonderful restaurant, or I want to, you know, experience this, or this is, you know, it could be relatively simple what your goal is for your audience. But she has such a clear direction on how to sort of keep the interview driving forward to a very specific point. It doesn't ramble, it doesn't amble, and I think that's what actually makes a really good host.
Mm-hmm. You know, the people I want to get your thoughts on who make, who are very funny and very perceptive, and I think they're terrific. One is Craig Ferguson from The Late Late Show. I think he's hysterical. He gets it. He takes chances. He makes fun of everything. and another who comes from England who has not made it yet in the United States. So one day he's going to get the film, I think he's going to break him out and let's get him written. When I watch his clips of his scenes on British television, I laugh out loud. The man is funny. he is tremendous with his guests. He gets the audience involved very, very well. I think he's a standout.
Amazing. I mean, you know, a lot of times, like, you know, you look at the Jay Lenos or, you know, the George Lopez's or the Carsons. I mean, they were comedians, you know. They're funny men. Like, I'm not a comedian, and, like, I can't do that, you know. Like, I could never do, like, a formal monologue or, you know, I don't even know that I could do things like, you know, the great Karnak or any. I can't. That's just not my thing. So I am so in awe of, like, those guys who can do it. You know, Letterman's the same way. I mean, like, he's so funny, and I do think that they create – this is a character. You know, this is the David Letterman character for his talk show. This is the Jay Leno character for their talk show. And I understand it, and I think that I sort of do that a little bit too. Like, I can feel myself sort of, like, click into that just Josh mode, like, when the camera starts rolling. But I, you know, I'm so not a comedian.
Thanks for being executive by day at CNN TV. Any news about what's coming up on the network besides your show?
Well, we do. We have some really great stuff coming up. I've been working very closely with our in-house production team to do some original programming. Besides mine, we're going to do like an old-school music video show that should be really fun and poppy. We're doing, like I said, a documentary on Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS to honor their sort of 22nd year. We're also looking to do sort of a 2 or 3 part series on the 30 years of HIV and AIDS since the first diagnosis and the article appeared in the New York Times in March of 1981. What else are we going to do? We're doing a great fun piece for the ladies called The Dinah Girls, which we're going out to the Dinah Shore weekend, and we're just going to follow some couples around and sort of like a Girls Gone Wild-esque, but not quite that wild. And, yeah, we have some good original sort of scripted programming stuff. We want to bring back, you know, the franchise of Dante's Cove in some way. We have, yeah, just some great stuff coming up. We're hoping to launch between, like, 9 and 12 new pieces of programming between now and the end of the year.
How often does your show run?
It runs every other Friday, so it's biweekly, and the new episodes air every Friday on the linear channel, and then they are, like you were saying, Simon, like, it's available on demand. Wherever we have a linear channel, there's an on-demand sort of companion channel as well, but the other systems, like when it's the subscription video on demand, the new episode goes up every other week, but the old one stays too.
And it's a half-hour show?
It's a half-hour, and each show is broken into basically 4 segments. So there are 3 sort of longer segments that, you know, where it's either an interview or, like I said, going to do something like country-western dancing. And then the very last 2.5 minutes are what they call my soapbox. And it's just whatever's bugging me that day. And it could be something from as simple as, like, you know, somebody clipping their fingernails on the subway, or, you know, something even more sort of political. But whatever's bugging me that day, they give me this little 2 minutes to just rant and rave about something crazy.
And when are you going to be running the segment with Isabel Rossellini?
I'm sorry?
When are you going to be running the segment with Isabel Rossellini?
When is it going to air?
Yeah.
I believe, let's see, 1, 2, I'm counting the weeks, so you have to bear with me for 1 second. 1, 2, I think the Isabella Rossellini is the 5th show, so it will probably air at the beginning of March.
The name of the show is Just Josh, and you can find it on Here TV in some markets around the country. It is a linear pay channel. In other markets, it's subscription video on demand. It's available on digital cable and satellite. Check your local news to where Here TV is available in your area and what channel it is on. And for more details about the network and Just Josh, you go on the web www.heretv.com. It's www.heretv.com. Josh Davis Wide, the creator and host of Yes, Josh, and an executive at GMTV, Senior Vice President. Thanks for joining us. All the best to your show, and let's hope for a great run.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you so much. This has been really fun. I really appreciate it.
Same here, guys. Take care.
Bye.
Jack Rose is live, joining us live from New York here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. As mentioned at the top, this is Social Media Week here in New York and San Francisco, some other cities around the world. There's all sorts of events happening dealing with their social media like Facebook and Twitter is at, and they're expanding. The top of this covered on this program, where you guys get Facebook and Twitter on the television set, and there are other services like them will also appear that you can maneuver with the remote control over the computer keys. Well, I'm taking part in an event during Social Media Week on Wednesday morning that deals with exactly that subject. It's called TV Go Social, and I'm organizing it in conjunction with iBreakfast. That is the monthly meeting on digital media topics, headed by Alan Brody of Silicon Alley Breakfast Club fame back in the late 90s, early 2000s, when the millennial turned. TV Go Social will focus on this topic of how Facebook and Twitter work on the TV set, how developments like Google TV, TV set makers, and cable operators offer more interactive services. Where things will go forward from here. There's one of the guests on the lineup, and it will be taking place at Cresta Executive Center. That's on 100 Park Avenue, two blocks from Grand Central Station, from 7:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Wednesday. That's Wednesday, February 9th. Again, that is 7:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. local time here in New York, Wednesday, February 9th. And you can register for the event either by going to www.ibreakfast.com or www.socialmediaweek.org. That's www.ibreakfast.com or www.socialmediaweek. Either way, you can get the chance to register. Also, you know, that next Monday night, I'll be doing another event. I'll be hosting an event for Landmark Education, the Empowerment Education program that is offered around the world. It's main course, the Landmark Forum. I'll be hosting this lecture at Landmark, and if you're in New York, or plan to be in New York on Valentine's night, at least from today, join me from 7 to 10 p.m. at Landmark and find out how Landmark Education can make a big difference in the quality of your life. Many people in the TV industry, media, digital media, web, I'm taking Landmark courses, and it's been a major impact for them with their lives, their relationships, their careers, and their workplaces. If you want to know more, you can email me at simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please include your name, where you're emailing from, and if you want to know more details about Landmark and what's up to, whether you're in New York or around the world, go to landmarkeducation.com. Landmark Education, it is education that makes a difference by having you live a life you love and living with poverty. We've been involved with Landmark since 1994. It's wonderful education, and I invite you to see how it can make a difference up close and personal for you. When we come back, the Football Hall of Fame made a great choice over the weekend, a choice about a person that made us watch football a whole lot more than we needed national exposure. Tell you about who that person is and the difference that person made after we pause to figure out identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 7 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for black history makers. Forget about AT&T. Tonight, Oprah Winfrey, Elizabeth Other, 7 Graham is a guest. That's black history makers, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific today on Blog Talk Radio, presented by AT&T. Welcome back to the Marvel Televised. Simon Abraham here with you live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. Gorgeous Monday afternoon, 35 degrees, won't have been a long time. And we are very, very happy to have you with us. And now, a comment. By now you know the Green Bay Packers won the Super Bowl. Great game last night. And if Fox's early ratings are any indication, it looks like this may be the highest rated individual program in television history. It's going to break the record of about 106 million set last year's Super Bowl by CBS. The estimate is about 110 million viewers. Something else happened over this past weekend. The National Football Pro Football Hall of Fame announced their class of 2011. Great people in that class, Richard Dent, the defensive star for many years of the Chicago Bears, Shannon Sharp, now a commentator on the NFL on CBS, and primetime Leon Deion Sanders. But there's another person that was inaugurated into this class that you should know more about, because he may have, more than anybody else, impacted millions of Americans to watch football to begin with. His name is Ed Sable, and in 1962, he was the co-founder and executive producer of NFL Films. At that time, pro football was not a national sport, except in championship games. There was no Monday Night Football. It was not prime time deal, no Thursday night, no Sunday night, no Saturday night. It was all Sunday afternoon and regional. And basically, football was covered in one day. You never had cameras seeing the players up and down the field. NFL Films, under Sable, humanized the game. You have all these great camera shots of the sideline, the coaches patrolling, the players in their faces. You saw these wonderful shots of the spiraling football heading down into the waiting arms of the receiver at full speed. It is wonderful coverage that nobody ever seen before, and that coverage showcased on programs like the NFL Game of the Week, which started in 2005, This Is the NFL, long-running hour show about the week's previous football games, and the wonderful Football Follies shows that came out once a year. Those programs and the way they were done, the millions of Americans welcomed them into the sport in a way that network television coverage had not done before. So for many people, NFL films were their introduction to football. And football has become the national phenomenon it is today, and that Super Bowl won 110 million people last night because in many respects of NFL films. Jay Wall let his son Steve take over some time back. He is 94 years young. God willing, he will attend the Pro Football Hall of Fame induction ceremonies in Canton, Ohio this August. And he more than deserves it. This is an honor that should have come to him a long time ago. And as I said, Tavo, maybe more than any other single individual, changed the face and the nature of the game. He made it through television. He made it fun to watch through television. He made it exciting, dramatic, sometimes with operatic or balletic overtones. But always with a realistic sense of how the game went from the inside out. Ed Sable, let's see him this August at the Pro Football Hall of Fame induction ceremony in Canton, Ohio. He more than deserves it. Congratulations, Ed, and thanks for making the kind of football you watch today possible. Coming up Friday on our next Tomorrow's Televised, we will profile what may be the most unique new series of this year or any week of the year. It's called Bar Karma. And it's on Color TV, premieres Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. The show is on a simple premise. A person walks into a bar, and you fill in a blank. But in this case, the plot and the blank are filled by Color TV viewers. The show is being produced at a new production facility in New York, New Jersey. And we'll talk live with David Cohen, who's the current executive in charge of production. Tomorrow, during Social Media Week, we'll write behind the first video game, the executive producer, Robbie Hector, Bar Karma, will do a special demonstration of the show. And on Wednesday, Al Gore, the Federal Vice President and co-founder of Curry, Joe Hyatt, will be here in town at the Taylor Center for Media with Curry TV's first ever upfront. So we'll have David Tucker, Bar Karma, and we'll have news from an upfront event on Wednesday. Coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And coming up on Monday, we have a great night of the episode for you. First up, Lisa Ling, the former co-host of The View, the former host of National Geographic Explorer, and now the host and executive producer of Our America, which premieres Lisa tomorrow on Oprah Winfrey Network. She'll be in New York. We'll catch her live. And then Investigation Discovery has a Black History Month presentation you won't want to miss. It's called The Injustice Files, a three-part miniseries about unsolved murder cases involving civil rights. Keith Beauchamp, the producer of that program, will be with us. And finally, Univision's Denver affiliate is doing a unique Spanish-language novella, one which has some health topics on its mind. The program is called En Cordada, and we'll have Ann Smith of Evolve Communications, the production coming behind the show, and Jesus Fuentes, the program's executive producer. That's all coming up Monday. We can see it right here on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. Don't forget, if you want to catch up on episodes you missed, we've had some great ones in the last month or so, go to our homepage, anytime, www.blogtalkradio.com/SimonApple04. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/SimonApple04. Last Thursday's special edition with George Stevens Jr., the star of the Oscar and filmmaker behind HBO's Third Look, today on February 24th, and the annual Kennedy Center Honors on CBS, has already received over 200 replays, 100 in under 48 hours. So, if you want to catch up on our episodes and see and hear the great guests we've got, go to www.blogtalkradio.com/SimonApple04, available 24/7. So, our podcast, we had nearly 30,000 downloads last month, already over 5,000 this month. You can go to any major mobile device and download the show through iTunes.com, Zoom.net, and other websites arranged by the wonderful people at Sonobite. We're also a featured podcast on TiVo, and we're available to students and teachers around the country who came in the classroom. The website to find out more details on that is www.ciconline.org. That's www.ciconline.org. And we invite you to email me. Let me know what you think of the show, about our guests and topic. Thanks to all the chat room folks for their thoughts.
And you can always email me at simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and where you're emailing from. Also, we have our regular feature, a show to know. If there's a TV show you like, you think deserves more attention, let me know, and we'll talk about it on the air. So when you email me, not only enclose your name and where you're emailing from, but the name of the show, the network it's on, and some sense about why you like it. If you use your thoughts, you get the credit. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. One more thing before you sign off. We are looking for sponsors. That's the HUC deal with Black History Makers. So if you are part of a national advertiser or you know someone who is, we want to hear about it because we'd love to sponsor our program here on Blog Talk Radio and our podcast as well. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. We appreciate what you have to say. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associates are Hilary LeWong and Matt Bader. Podcast distribution provided by Sonovite. Words to your ears. For more, search sonovite.com. Podcast director and theme music composer, Philip Salisbury. For tomorrow when we televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful social media week. We'll catch you Wednesday live at iBreakfast and TV Garden Social. That's 7:30 to 10 o'clock at the Crest Executive Center at 100 Park Avenue here in Nueva, New York. And, of course, on Friday, back here at 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, on Blog Talk Radio. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.